Bro, I did that with my beats. So last week at work, I got locked out on Saturday.
Oof, tough.
And by that, I mean my work key was on my desk, and I had to go retrieve my beats from the work car. So I left the building, got to the cage in which our vehicles closed in, reached for my keys, and said, "Oh no, I'm cooked." Luckily, it was like 8:50, so like I didn't really miss much of work. Like it was like a couple minutes. I unfortunately didn't get to set the alarm, but I was like, "Oh man!" Luckily, I have my wallet and my car keys on me. I could just leave right now, but I had to put the work car keys back. So I had to go to someone who watches the garage. I was like, "Hey, can you let me in the building?" Like after I left my key in there, and she let me in, but only the first door. There's two doors, technically three, to get to where like my desk is, but I couldn't get through the third because they only have access to the first two. And so I chilled in the little hallway right there for a little bit, and I was like, "Yo, can you open the other door too? I can't get past this first door." And she's like fairly new, so I don't think she really knows that those doors are also locked like that.
Yeah.
And so she let me in. I put the keys on the door handle, and I just left. I was like, "Man, this is tough. Can't deal with this." And then, so Sunday, I go over there around like noon, got my stuff back, and I was like, "Man, this is terrible." What a time. And so, anyways, back to the beats. I had one in my ear that I was using all night. The case with the other one was in the work car. Didn't retrieve that till yesterday. But the other one, when I opened the case, I was like, "Oh no, I lost my earbud." So I, same thing, started retracing steps. I was like, "I don't know what this is." I was like, I checked my work pockets from the jacket I was wearing, checked the car inside and out, checked my desk, and I was like, "Bro, I don't know." And then I thought about it some more, and I was like, "Wait, it might be in my car because I'd had nowhere to put it after work." And so I go and check my car, and boom, it's right there, completely dead. I was like, "Thank the Lord."
Hallelujah. Hello and welcome back to the Second and Two podcast. I'm your host, TB. I've got my co-host, producer extraordinaire, hat connoisseur, purveyor of, I don't know.
WNBA sports. I don't even think that makes
WNBA
sense.
WNBA sports. Yeah, sure. Yeah.
But,
Jody, what's up, Joe?
We're here. Well, it's good, man. You know. First off, I'd like to say Johnny makes fun of me for saying "you know" often, which I understand. It's kind of how know. I kind of use it as the word to make it seem like I have, you know, some sort of knowledge. But
you just did it.
Yeah, I know. You I know. Trust me.
You do know.
All right, start from the top. No, seriously, we're back. It's Thursday night. We got to speak to Uncle Tom prior to this. I probably won't keep that in, you know.
Private conversations, stay private.
Not even that. You know, it's the language we try not to, we try to avoid. So that was all.
Yeah, he was letting it fly. Yeah, Shout out Uncle Tom. Letting it fly about his Steelers. We love talking to him about that stuff. Yeah, he's in town right now visiting. My dad will be in town tomorrow as well. Gets in tomorrow morning. They're both going to go together to the game tomorrow night.
You guys and
do? Yeah. And and then I'll get to hang out with them and watch ball this weekend. Hear their thoughts. You know, I'll have to take a notebook of thoughts so that on next Thursday's pod
reactions to Sunday night.
and be ready to go there. But yeah, so getting to hang out with my uncle, got to talk to him quite a bit tonight before hopping on with you.
Yep,
and love that guy. And just happy he's here.
Yeah, speaking of notes, though, my nephew always has some one-liners about football every weekend. And last week was, there's still football on? How is this game still going? And, you know, things like that. I'm like, well, it's different.
Which game was he referencing?
I want to say the first one was the Ravens. And then
that was a great game, though. So I don't know why he's complaining.
No, I don't know. I want to say the Bengals was in there, mixed in there at some point.
Yeah, that game was not great. So fair enough.
Who was Sunday night? Was it Jets? Jets Bills, or was that Monday?
No, Bengals Giants was Sunday night.
Okay. And then who
was
Bills
was Monday.
Okay, so Jets Monday he goes, there's more football? Was there ever not football?
No, son, this is America.
Yeah. Like, well, for now we got football. It's gonna go away.
This is America. We watch football 24/7. We're in a stretch of 53 straight
October,
days.
Everything. Something's going on.
And there's
day.
A football game every day. Like, dude, Tuesday night, you get Tuesday night action. you know, Wednesday night we're getting games, Thursday night, Friday night. I mean, we're getting games every night of the week, baby. All right, speaking of games, we got to look at last week's games. And really what we want to look through last week's games of is the to start is the lens of the NFL standings and how Jody and I, after 6 weeks, feel
I'm cooked.
Third of the way through the season, feel about that. Our playoff picks. So I will start with mine, if you're okay with that, Jody.
Yeah. I mean, ours are similar at the top and then falls off at the bottom.
In the NFC, right now the standings are as follows. Vikings 5-0, Falcons 4-2, Commanders 4-2, 49ers 3-3, Lions 4-1, Buccaneers 4-2, Packers 4-2. Now my picks, I had the Packers as the one seed. I feel good about that right now. The Packers are 4-2. They were missing Jordan Love for two games. They're getting healthy. Christian balling. Watson's back. They've got a lot of dudes back, you know, who were injured early in the year. Yeah, they fixed the whole deal with Dobbs. Yeah, so I feel good about the Packers. They're 4-2. They're in a great spot. I think they really could go get that one seed in the NFC. The two seed, I had the Rams. Not feeling good about that one right now. 1-4. They got the bye week. We'll see how they play this week against the Raiders. Hopefully they're getting Cooper Kupp back. We'll see if they can get some other dudes back off the IR. But even if they make the playoffs, I don't think they're getting the two seed at this point. They would have to basically rattle off 11 straight wins to make that likely happen. So, and that's just not happening. So not feeling good about the Rams as the two seed. Atlanta as the three seed. They currently are. Actually, they're currently the two seed, but they're right in the range of what I was thinking. They're 4-2. I feel good about Atlanta in that three spot. Commanders in the four spot. Yeah. I told you preseason, I really like this Commanders team. I like Jaden Daniels. They've looked good. They're 4-2. Feel good about that one. My wild cards, I had Detroit, San Francisco, and Chicago. Detroit's 4-1. San Francisco's 3-3. Chicago's 4-2. Feel good about all those teams in those spots. So far on the NFC side of the bracket, I feel like I've nailed this thing outside of the Rams through a third of the season. Now, if we look at the AFC side, standings look like this. Chiefs 5-0. Texans 5-1, Ravens 4-2, Bills 4-2, Steelers 4-2, Chargers 3-2, Colts 3-3.
Joe Flacco.
I'm looking at things and I'm saying, okay, Baltimore was my one seed. Feel good about that. You know, they started 0-2, they won four in a row since. They look good. We're good, right? Kansas City, I had them as a two seed. They're 5-0. I think they will come back down to earth. They may lose a couple games here, but I think they're going to be fine. I think they're going to be in that 2-3 seed range, like I thought. Houston, the other team right there in the power of the AFC, feel good about that with where they're standing at 5-1 right now. The Jets were my 4 seed. Don't feel good about that. They're 2-4. They had a big opportunity to win a game Monday night that would put them at 3-3 and would have put them in first place in the NFC East AFC East, and they blew it. Their kicker, not good. They traded for Devontae Adams. Everyone's excited about that. Guess what Devontae Adams doesn't fix? Problems on the offensive line, fellas.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know. Maybe it'll make Aaron Rodgers better that he has his buddy back. We'll see. And the wild cards, I have Buffalo. LA and Pittsburgh. And guess what? Right now it's Pittsburgh, LA, and Indianapolis, but that's only because Buffalo is winning the division. So I feel good about everything there except for the Jets. So in both conferences, I feel good about all my picks right now, a third of the way through the season, except for the Rams and the Jets. I need those two teams to pick up the slack and we'll feel better. Jody, how do you feel?
All right. Well, my list, I go the Falcons, the Niners, the Lions, the Cowboys, the Rams, the Packers, and the Cardinals. Now, on the AFC, we got the Ravens, the Jets, the Texans, the Chiefs, the Bengals, the Browns, and the Dolphins. My 5-7 is cooked. Straight injuries on both sides. Bengals, they've been hurt and haven't really done, they haven't taken any wins, I should say. They've been doing well, playing good ball, down on the wire, lose every time. Rams, injury bug. Browns, their quarterback isn't good. That's a whole different story. Joe Flacco took them to the playoffs last year, just saying. Packers, they're higher up in the real ranking right now, so that one's fine. Dolphins, donezo. Tua has been hurt.
Yeah,
he's on IR.
Tough one.
They don't have a quarterback either. Cardinals, they're hit or miss, honestly. They put up, you know, 30 points and then they lose by 3. I don't know. They're all over the place. That might play out good, might not. Let's see, at the top though, Falcons, Ravens, those look fine. Niners, Jets. They have a chance to make the playoffs, but it's not looking good for them to be the 2 seed. Texans, Lions, looking very solid. That's all I'm going to say. The Lions being the 3 seed, might not happen. We'll see. But Texans being 3rd, very doable. And the 4th, they have the Chiefs, Cowboys. Injury bug slash not much offense being done besides CD. Chiefs, not doing better than I expected, but I knew they were taking division. That's all. That's why they're top 4. So we'll see what happens there. But overall, my 5-7 is just donezo, realistically.
That's a tough feeling, man. It's all right, though.
It's expected. I had 4 teams going 0-17. That's not going to happen either.
That is true. I was going to say, not everyone can be, you know, great at this. If I'm great, then you can't be. So that's just how podcasting goes. Right.
I'm the best. You're the worst.
You're the worst.
You are good looking. I'm not attractive. Great movie.
Oh, man. We'll see. It's a third of the way. We still got 2/3 of the season. Majority of the season to go. We'll see what happens. And we'll check back in probably somewhere around week 12. To see where we stand and what we're thinking. Moving on to some NFL news. What do we have first, Joe, happening around the league?
Ooh, tough for the Lions defense. Our guy Aiden Hutchinson, brutal injury to the leg. Had to get surgery down in Dallas. He broke his tibia, I believe.
I think it's tib and fib.
Oh, is that better or worse to have both break?
I don't know. I just know it didn't look good.
Yeah. I think he was going for a sack and hit someone's other leg and
Friendly fire. Hit McNeil's leg with his kind of a whiplash situation, like his leg swing around and oof. God, not good.
I saw it on X, the Everything app where everything happens. And
yeah.
It was like graphic. Don't watch if you're like if you get sick easy. And of course I watched and said, oh, that's bad. And then I went about my day.
Yeah. Bummer for him. He was on track, I think, to win the defensive player of the year. Like he was definitely the guy through the first third of the season that I think it would have been everyone's pick for the defensive player of the year. So just a big blow to that Lions defense, big blow for Aiden Hutchinson personally. Cause I think, A lot of question marks when he was taken number 2 in the draft, and he's answered every question to the point where this year he put himself in that category of dominant pass rusher that every team has to account for, like in that TJ Watt, Myles Garrett, Micah Parsons range of pass rushers.
Hey, I'm gonna say this now: he needs to get a signature celebration. I don't know if he has one or not, but okay. Jared Allen,
we'll tell him. We'll tell him to work on it during rehab, that he has all kinds of time now to think about this. But truthfully, prayers up, Aiden Hutchinson. We hope you get better. And it's a bummer to see such a great player miss most of the year.
Yep. Next up, you kind of briefly mentioned it already. Davante Adams sent to New York. I mean, Jersey, whatever you want to call him, the Jets. Funny thing is, I seen someone post on X, everything app where everything happens. They had a Photoshop of the Jets logo. You know how it's got the little plane? They put that, and then it said Packers instead of Jets. I thought it was kind of funny. But looks like you said, what happens to our guy Mike Williams? Well, for one, he gets benched. And my guy fumbled the bag 2 weeks in a row, getting picked off at the end of the game. So that's already a bummer. They bring in Aaron Rodgers' number one guy. You know what I mean? Yep. So, he just gets down on the depth chart, and hopefully he gets some action here and there and can make up to Rodgers that he could still be a guy.
Yeah, I think sounds like they might trade him. Oh. I've seen a lot of stuff that people are saying he might be on the trading block. Because Aaron Rodgers did throw him under the bus after that game.
Oh, definitely.
Said he ran the wrong route and all that. Yeah. Like, I was like, okay, so. And then they trade for Davante Adams, and then he's sitting out of practice and not playing. So, to me, the writing's on the wall. Time in New York is probably done. New Jersey, if you will. And we'll see where he maybe ends up. Wouldn't mind the Rams trading for Mike Williams. Red zone threat?
What about Puka, though? He's coming back in like a week or two.
Red zone threat.
Just throw it up.
Mike Williams is big. We don't have a big receiver like that. No. Mike Williams is big.
We got feed and route extraordinaires.
I'm just saying, Rams struggling in the red zone. You know, maybe throw one up there to Mike Williams. That could be a pretty good little duo with Matthew Stafford and Mike Williams. But alas, we move on because Drake May was cooking in his first start. Jody, did you see it?
Right?
Yeah, he was a dog. Now, the Patriots, they were not cooking. They got cooked. But Drake May, not bad. Not bad for a first start. He looked okay.
Some juice they needed to get out of Jacoby. You know, bring some youth to the team. New energy. Hopefully it could be the start of something better going forward. See, now I want to read this. Oh, okay. I was scared. When I first saw it, it says, so far, Chase. And I thought you were talking about Jamar Chase or Chase Brown. And I was like, who's this Chase guy? But it says,
our boy Chase CB. Is looking
right. Yeah. About Spencer Rattler, TB, still holding out for hope that he could do better. Tough night tonight, for one.
Yeah, we haven't talked about this game that happened tonight. The Broncos absolutely routed the Saints on Drew Brees' night. Spencer Rattler didn't have his best night, but I just like how he plays. He's fearless. I kind of like it. He looked okay against the Bucs. He had some moments, and then in the second half, not so many moments, and then tonight, not good at all. But as I said, yes, Chase, you may have won the battle for now, but I'm still holding out hope for the war.
A marathon,
all right?
Not a sprint.
I maintain Spencer Rattler is not a trash can. We're going to see if he can. He might have been a dumpster fire tonight, but he's not a trash can, and we'll see what he does moving down the road. He's going to get some more starts, so we'll see.
Hey, I just want to be the first to say there was one of my fantasy leagues. These dudes said, yo, Alvin Kamara is going off tonight. That right there told me they watch zero Bronco games because no one goes off on the Broncos. They play Iowa football. They get they're hitting unders at 30 right now. Today, they dropped that many, but they haven't scored this much, nor have they allowed anyone to score as much as that total right there. So it's all impressive. I'm saying is your boy had Alvin Kamara under yards, flying colors.
Flying colors. Saying. He was never sweating.
No sweat.
Let's get to some awards for week 5 before we turn the page to week 6. Week 6 before we turn the page to week 7. Let's go with the Tukwa Gamer of the Week Award. Named in honor of our former head high school football coach. Who was your gamer, Jody?
Ooh, this one's an easy one. The Bucks, Chris Godwin. My guy went 11 catches on 13 targets, 125 yards, 2 touchdowns. Not to mention, like, I think it was 105 of those 120 were yards after the catch. My guy crazy, put on the wheels. Yeah, I think one of those was like a 60-yard touchdown, too.
So, crazy.
Off a screen, just like Jamar Chase a week ago. Crazy.
Hey, man.
He went nutty.
Definition of a gamer is doing even more than what's expected of you, dude. I got Cole Kmet, all right? And for not reasons that you're thinking, folks. Guy had 5 catches for 70 yards and 2 tutties in London.
Hey.
Ballin'.
Overseas.
He had a nice little run after the catch, carried a defender in the end zone, split the seam, you know, whole deal, right? But you know why he's really a gamer? Because this dude had to become their long snapper early in the game because the long snapper got hurt.
Hear about that.
He became the long snapper, and guess what, dude? Successfully executed, I believe it was 4 PATs and a field goal.
Ooh. All right,
and he was also the special teams player of the week in the NFC for this performance.
Dang.
Scored 2 touchdowns on offense, but he was the special teams player of the week. That should tell you, this guy's a dog.
You Cole know what Kmet, they say about shout out. Special teams, too. Oh, you're drinking water.
Wins the games.
There it is. Next one, Jody's dog of the week. This one, kind of similar to your guy, Cole Kmet. Being able to plug and play at that position. Baker, this man, fearless. Runs up the field. His guy, Bucky Irving, hits a cutback. Spinning the other way across the field, you know, another 40, 50 yards, you know, however far he cut it back to get to the other sideline. And Baker, flying out of nowhere, throws the shoulder into the defender, helps this dude get another, like, 5-10 yards. Baker's just... He's a man that you can go to war with, and you would know he's gonna do something. You know what I mean?
So let's go.
Baker this week with the downfield blocks, dog of the week.
Baker's got that swag, dude. He was my minor setback, major comeback last week. Love it for Baker. All right, minor setback for major comeback this week. The Commanders, they have a nice chance to bounce back against the Panthers after a tough loss to the Ravens and Lamar Jackson. Boy. Yeah. I feel good about the Commanders this week. I don't know. Something tells me they might show up in your turnover on down segment. Maybe a bet there on the Commanders.
Did I? Oh, go for this coming up week.
Yeah.
I will say. I wanted to mention it last week. Obviously, I didn't. But it was going to be that I think you were a little 1 week early on the Commanders about how you said the Browns defense, rookie quarterback, yada, yada, yada. I wanted to bring it up saying it would be that week versus the Ravens, but I digress. Move ahead to the no cap pass off award. What did you see that was either so unbelievable or something that you would never think it would ever happen?
Okay, well... For one, the Lions beat the Cowboys by like an outrageous score. I don't even remember what it was. It was like
47-9
or 55-9 or something stupid. Crazy. But what was even worse about it is the Lions were doing everything they possibly could
to get the linemen a score
to embarrass the Cowboys with a deep bag of trick plays. All right.
Yeah.
Including multiple, not just one, multiple plays designed to get the ball into an O lineman's hands.
And I know it's one.
They tried to throw it to their boy that got the call last year in Dallas. The 68. I forget his name right now. Damn Skipper. They tried to throw him one.
I don't know.
They tried to throw him one in the end zone. They tried to go tackle eligible. He reported as eligible.
Yeah.
They did, and they did it very passive aggressively. Well done by them. And they threw him the ball.
Goff threw him a jump ball. Ineligible or something.
Yes.
Oh my God, this is why they did it.
It was all revenge for last year's fiasco. I just love that Dan Campbell has that petty gene in him. Ben Johnson has that petty gene, and they were trying to get it to their dudes.
Man, that man right there is a true man.
Yeah, amen. For real though. They literally ran like four trick plays when they're up by like 50 points to try and get O-line in the ball. And I was like, man, this is the kind of stuff that happens in high school football. And as a high school football coach, you're embarrassed. And I'm sitting there thinking like, what are the Cowboys coaches thinking right now? They got to be so pissed because golly, that was embarrassing. And but it was just I mean, it's like I said, it's no cap hats off because you don't see that in the NFL. It never happens. So I guess hats off to the Lions.
Yeah, I heard they ran the hook and ladder, I think, to Penne is what that one was. I couldn't tell you what the other one or two was. But crazy was times bad out there in Jerry Land. On his birthday, too. Hey, let's just put the salt in the wound on the birthday.
Hey, did I don't know if you got a chance, but Jerry fired back on radio, dude. He was cooking. Yes, they asked him about, like, what's wrong with the team, and he basically told the radio host that we're asking him the questions that he would get him fired and find new radio hosts.
That's crazy. Hey, Jerry
was mad. Jerry was mad.
I think it's time to hang it up. Give it to the kids or something. Yeah. It's time for a new era.
I won't tell you what people in Texas think of that man out here. Cowboys fans.
Oh, what do they say? It's not good?
Oh, I can't even say it.
Yeah, no, I'll
be honest.
Show.
I can't say it on the show because it's
bleep, 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 bleep.
It's evil. It's evil. The things they're saying about that man. Strahan Munoz, Big Fellow Award. Who you got, Jody?
All right, this week I went with the Bucks once again. Who would have thunk it? You know what I mean? I went with the right tackle. Like Bucks. They were nice this week. They went nutty. I went with Luke Gedecky, the right tackle, as I was saying, number 67. My man wears the Guardian cap for one, so it was easy to track him. I'll put that out there now. Let's see. Young Gun, he's 26. I saw he was born in 98. Let's see. Dude's got long arms. This is crazy. Just the extension at all times. He likes having his punches, so he likes keeping separation at all times. Really good in the pass game, which, I mean, I think they threw it like 50 times last week, so makes sense why he was chosen. Decent in the run game. Not anything too crazy out of the ordinary. Like I said, they passed a lot, so wasn't much going on with the run. They do like, I think they run a lot of zone, so he would just have to make sure the dude didn't get across his face while everything else falling behind him. They did run inside a couple times, but not too often. Let's see what else I got written down. Oh, there was one play. He went to pass off the end to the guard, but the guard stayed with his dude. So they kind of bumped into each other, and the dude had a lane to Baker. But Baker, being the dog he is, took a step out the way, got the pass off. Everything was smooth. And oh, this dude's quick off the ball, too. That's the last one I have. It's one of those where you're like, that, false start? Too early? He was very consistent with how early he was. So that's off for that one.
All right. Shout out Luke Gedecky, Bucks right tackle. Yeah, yeah. We're a podcast that promotes O-line. All right. We also promote D-line. So for the last time this year, the Strahan Award goes to Aiden Hutchinson. All right, we already kind of gave him a shout out in the news, but like I said, on pace to be the undisputed defensive player of the year this year. He had another sack on Sunday before getting hurt, and 7.5 sacks this season in five games. That's how consistent he was.
Yeah,
you know, if you're talking numbers and pacing, guy was on pace for like 50 sacks. like no joke, this guy was going crazy.
Like 30. Somewhere in that ballpark.
17 games.
Will you triple it?
Times
21.
Time. Yeah, okay, so I might have been exaggerating there. Maybe more like 30 sacks. 30 sacks. Yeah. 32. Yeah. Anyway, you know, shout out Aiden Hutchinson. Won't be able to give him the award again this year, so we'll give it to him this week. But man was a man among boys.
Definitely.
The Who's Cooking Award. Quarterback. Given to the quarterback who's cooking, and it might be a five-star meal, or it might be cooking something that stinks.
They got
Jody, who you got?
Rabbit from the backyard that they just shot. Wow. This week, I didn't get one of those guys, though. I got a dude who does a little bit of everything. He could get the plate, got cilantro on top, pretty plating, nice cooked meal, medium rare, the way you like. Maybe you got the lamb chops this time, though. We take it overseas, though. We ain't touching seafood, but we take it overseas. We're getting some snails, maybe. Who knows? Caleb Williams, my guy, very efficient. 23 for 29, 226 yards, 4 touchdowns, 1 interception, and then 4 rushes, 56 yards. The man was cooking it up over the Jags, making sure that the London fans know that although it might be a home game for the Jags, there's a new guy in town.
Hey, he was seasoning. He was cooking. He was doing everything.
DJ Moore, Okamet, as he talked about. Keenan Allen. Oh, geez. Two of them? How they thought he was going to be.
I've been saving this dude because he's been slow roasting. He's been cooking, but he's been slow roasting, right? No one's been talking about him this year because he don't have the stats that he normally has.
He's got the pig just turning slowly over the fire.
It's okay, though, because this dude's having more success and more winning in his career than he's ever had. That's Justin Herbert. 21 for 34. Not eye-popping. 237 yards. Not crazy. 1 touchdown. Pedestrian. But he's playing really well in his role. He has the least, or the Chargers have the least amount of pass attempts in the league to this point. And that's by design because that's how they're going to play football. Reminds you of something, huh? And guess what, dude? Jim Harbaugh is a winner. He knows how to win. There's a reason I picked the Chargers to get to the playoffs this year. And guess what? All those fans who think, oh, well, we need to throw the ball at Justin Herbert. We need his stats, X, Y, Z. Oh, we didn't draft a receiver. What are we going to do? Guess what? It doesn't matter because Ladd McConkey's going to be pretty freaking good, and you're going to run the ball more than anybody in the league anyway, so it doesn't matter. And guess what? Justin Herbert's pretty dang good, even in a limited role, and that's why he's cooking this week, man, because they're winning. Shout out Justin Herbert.
Say, very reminiscent of your boys in Big Blue. Let JJ cook up when he needs to, but until then, feed Blake, get the yard, ground and pound.
If it works for a natty, it can work for a Super Bowl.
I don't know. Does it? I think we kind of seen it not work in a Super Bowl in the past.
I mean, he made it there. Come on now, bro. Give the man some time. Give him some time with the Chargers. Give him some time with the Chargers. And by the way, he made it there, might I add, with Alex Smith and Colin Kaepernick. Those guys aren't Justin Herbert.
Very true. But he got a little road. That's all I'm going to say.
I rest my case. We'll see what happens.
Turned off and the game switched. That's all I know to tell you. But speaking of some tragic events, the Boo Boo Evans Award comes up. This week, switch it up a little bit. This one's kind of tragic. This is where a time where I'm going to say I would like to bring back pros versus Joes so I could see something. Because this guy, Trey Sermon, Indy running back, got 18 carries, 29 yards. That's an average of 1.6, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1. I don't want to be that guy, but I want to say I could probably get an average of over 1.6, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1 in less attempts than 18. But I digress. That's a pros versus Joes. I could get proven wrong very quickly. You know, if I see Ray Lewis in the A-gap, I might not even make it out the event. But no longer exists. We don't get to find that out. Just me being a hater.
Yeah, I do think you're being a hater right now, but that's okay, bro. We'll forgive you on this one. Okay, so it's time for everyone's favorite segment, and that is the turnover on downs. First down, we're going to give you a trend. Things happening in the league. Now I'm very excited for this trend because I think it's something that we could see.
You know what it is? It's our guy Raheem learning a little something from McVay, who learns a little something with Shanahan, who learned a little something with McDaniel. That's all it comes down to. I got a little sneak peek. I read the list. Well,
here's what I'll tell you. Zach Robinson I think is doing a phenomenal job right now in Atlanta as the offensive coordinator. Worked with Raheem Morris in LA as a quarterback's coach under Sean McVay, and he's getting his chance to be an OC here in Atlanta with Kirk Cousins and all this group of collective talent. And I think he's doing a fantastic job so far. So what we're going to show you is you've seen, you know, split zone, right? Where, hey, we're all going to zone left, but then we're going to bring the tight end back to kick out the end backside, mm-hmm. right? You've seen wham blocks, right? Where, hey, we're going to, you know, down this way, out this way, wham inside with a tight end, right? On a defensive lineman, say a three technique, right? It's almost like a trap block with a tight end, okay? Now, the Panthers are getting real creative, or the Falcons are getting real creative in that they're saying, we're all going to zone right, but we're also going to bring this tight end in motion with a full head of steam and let him just chop the three technique with our guy who's already riding out the zone. He's going to create that double team and really with some momentum be able to knock him off his spot and then work up to the Mike backer on a zone blocking scheme. I want to be clear here. I watched this live and I think I really didn't. I saw it, but I was like, really? Is that what happened? And then I'm going to give a lot of credit to the Pat McAfee Show and AQ Shipley, who diagrammed this earlier in the week. And it was something that I loved, and which is why, you know, we're going to talk about it here. But also, AQ Shipley, longtime NFL player, NFL offensive lineman who's now working on the Pat McAfee Show. He broke this down better than I ever could from an offensive lineman's perspective, but I'm just going to show you what happens here. All right, so here's the motion. And then on the snap, on the run, helps on the double and takes him out like pinballs, right? It's really beautiful from this angle. Okay, here's the motion. You're getting your zone blocking, right?
Yeah.
Normally, you have the double with the center, but instead, now it's the motion, man. He gets his head of steam. And look, he doesn't take out just one. He takes out two. And then guess what? Still works up. That tight end still works up to the mic. And we got it. We got a 7-yard gain on first and 10. That's beautiful. That's beautiful stuff.
Yeah.
From number 89 from the Falcons, whose name I don't know, but that is fantastic by 89, the tight end there. And it's a trend that I think, it's one of those things where I'm not sure. I'm not telling you that the Falcons are the first team to have done this. I'm sure it's happened. Charlie Warner, great block, buddy. But
hey, happy belated birthday. It was yesterday.
Oh, shout out, dude, Charlie Warner. Happy birthday. Great block, dude. What a guy. I'm not saying Zach Robinson and the Falcons are the first team to have done this, because I'm sure it's happened. It's the first time I've seen it.
Yeah.
And when you have schemers like McDaniel and McVay and Shanahan and all these dudes in the league who are doing these kind of creative run schemes, and then that's something that you haven't seen necessarily, pretty impressive. And I think we could see, dude, McVay and Shanahan have been taking advantage of motion for a while. That's another way to get that head of steam, that motion pre-snap, and really put a defender in a bind, because that three technique doesn't see him coming, and he's trying to hold his ground, and boom, now you're getting ear hold by a tight end who's got a full head of steam. You're never going to win that matchup. That's tough. It's really tough. So evolution of zone blocking. There you go. You see it. And we'll see if that becomes a trend in the league. I think it can.
Yeah, that's a pretty play for sure. That's one thing that could make the list of Strahan Munoz Award guy going forward. Second down, though, on the turnover downs, I give you a bet for next week. This week, my list consists of Ravens at Tampa over 48.5. I got Seattle at Atlanta. Atlanta's -3. And I got the Packers. Am I reading this right? Packers in Green Bay over 47.5. That's wild. Of course they're in Green Bay. That's their home stadium. Who are they playing? I think they're playing someone very prominent.
I want to say it might have been played the Cardinals last week.
Packers. Texans. They're playing the Texans.
Yeah.
That's who it is. Yeah,
so you got that game over 47.5 is what you're saying.
Yep.
Okay.
I think a lot of gunslinging over there. Same with the Ravens-Tampa, similar.
Baker throwing.
Yeah. Well, that game, yeah. Ravens and Tampa, I think Ravens put up another 40-whatever like they did with the Bengals. Tampa, they just dropped 50. Probably very prominent over there with this 48.5. And then Seattle versus Atlanta, -3. That one's a little riskier, I'd say, between the three. But Seattle hasn't. They've been like the inverse of the Vikings when Kirk was there. They're losing all these games close. So I think overall, if you take one of the two overs, those are probably the easiest ones. I'm gonna just say Ravens and Tampa. That's my pick this week, but also Green Bay. Why not?
Ravens and Bucks over 48.5. I like it. See, the Packers and the Texans also have good defenses, despite having really good young quarterbacks, and I could see the defenses cooking a little. I like your Ravens Bucks take there. And then I don't hate, you know, Atlanta -3 in that Seattle game. That's not a bad pick. I'm with you there. All right, Atlanta's so we're going to the third down. Seattle's
struggling, but I think that one, it could go either way. But I like Atlanta still.
We're going to go to the third down breakdown here. And normally this third down breakdown is a critical moment in a game that determined winners and losers, right? That's generally what I try and give you on this segment. But today, I'm going to tell you why I'm excited about Drake May. I was not a fan of his coming out of the draft. Thought there was a lot of mechanical issues. Thought he took
UNC guy?
Yes. Thought he made a lot of decisions that I was nervous about when it came to the NFL game. That he would be very turnover happy. Not in this game. It did not, however, turn out to be a win for them. They got smoked by the Texans. But this was a big play on a 3rd and 5 later in the game, about 9 minutes to go. That resulted in a touchdown, and Drake May looked good. So we're going to see, what is he identifying? First and foremost, I got a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 man front. Okay. Yep. I know I've got man out here. I've got man out here because of all of them are pressed, right? Well, I've got two guys in the box. Okay. I've got a tight end and a running back. So logically, we're going to say man. And then we're going to say, hey, there's one super duper 20 yards deep safety. That guy's probably the one high guy, right? So they're playing man free and they're going to bring 5. That's what we're getting. Okay, so if I'm now as Drake May, he says to himself, okay, let me look at the matchups. Okay, this is my matchup. We're going to run hitches everywhere else, and I'm going to set this up so I can make this inside throw. I'm going to look the safety off just a little bit and then make this inside throw, okay, on the seam ball, on the bender. All right. Here's what you get, right? Initially, a little play fake, 3rd and 5. You know, that's a legit play fake. He's looking here. Watch what the safety does. Watch it. Oh, look at that. That's beautiful. Open those hips. Okay, now, oh, my guys beat his guy inside on the bender. I've got him beat by a step. Let me just make sure it's out in front of him. Oh, and I put it right in the spot, right in the bread basket. Oh, and it becomes a touchdown because I put it in a place where he can catch and run. Nasty. Great stuff.
Is that who that was?
Kayshawn Boutte. That's exactly who that was. Right, looks him off, then brings it back. Puts it right on the money out in front of him so Boutte can catch it and go score. Thing of beauty. Just all of the mechanics of that play of checking, okay, I see it's man free. I'm getting 5 in my face. I've got the protection right. I know what I have. I know what matchup I like. I'm going to make sure I look off that one high safety for a second, then let the bender get across the field. And when I throw it, I'm going to put it right in the spot. I'm not going to be afraid to put it out in front of my guy and trust him to go run to get it, because then when he catches it, he can not break stride and go score. I mean, that's – I'm not going to tell you that it was like some kind of elite throw or some crazy arm talent thing, because that play really wasn't. It was just fundamental NFL 101 quarterbacking, and that's what you want to see from Drake May and Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels, because the talent is immaculate. They can do all the other things, but can they do that consistently? And for Drake May to do that in his first start, really positive. I'm excited to see what happens, because I was not, again, his biggest fan coming out. And I right now, I like I like the way he looked in that first start. So Patriots fans, reason to be excited for sure.
I will say that that second angle, the was that the 22? Is that what that was?
Mm-hmm.
Way more pretty. You could see the separation a lot more. Another one is just like, it looked like he was stride for stride almost, and then he just broke away from him. But the other one, you could see he had like 2-3 steps for sure.
Yep.
See, fourth down on the turnover on downs. I'm giving you the bad beat last week. This one hurt me personally. It was, I think, what, this was Thursday night? Or was this the Sunday night? I don't know, man. I don't know. But DK Metcalf touchdown. The dude.
Sunday. It was Thursday night. Seahawks okay. 49ers was Thursday night last week.
We record on the Thursday night, so I always forget if it was that day or if it's the weekend. But yeah, DK Metcalf, the touchdown, bro. That did me dirty. He had the one where he missed it by like a toe. Then he had the other one where he scored, but they had a flag in the back, so then he didn't get it. And then that was about all his time they had in the red zone after that. It was all bad for me. But another honorable mention. The dude who had the 11
I got a quick question.
Yeah.
As someone who doesn't gamble. Yeah. Because I assume this was your first leg of a parlay.
No. These are separate. The 11 leg parlay guy was his own dude who bet. It started off with like some playoff baseball game, which led to games over the weekend, and it came down to one. Jets Bills Monday night, and he had Jets money line. He hit all 10 already, and this was the last one. He put in, I want to say $10. 10 cents, a dollar, something ridiculous where it hit the, because there are so many lines, it was plus two, whatever. So he could have cashed out for 30K originally before Monday night. He said, after the Hail Mary, I'm riding the Jets. I'm not cashing out. And then once he saw they were going to lose, he cashed out for 5K. But he had a chance to win 125 or something, 126 before Monday night. And me and Johnny talking about it, I was like, I'm cashing out 30. I don't care. So, I'm taking a dub. I didn't believe the Jets were the Jets were going to win that game as a whole. It's like, but if he made it this far, I'm still taking the money. I'm taking something. Granted, he only put something under $10. So he should just take the bread early.
So here's my question. Does it hurt more if, say, like the first leg of a parlay doesn't hit, but then you watch the rest of the legs all hit?
Yeah.
And then you're just going back to going like, dude, the first leg, if he just blah, 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 right?
Yeah.
Or getting all the way to the end and that last leg is the one that smokes you?
For me, definitely.
Which one hurts more?
Because the first one, it's like, I never had a chance. You stop caring after the first one's done.
Okay.
The other one, it's you have all the buildup where you're like, oh, bro, I got this money in the bag. You're talking yourself into it. You know what I mean? And like the last time I had a big cash out, I was never able to cash out. Like I had something like hit where it's like 3 out of 4 and I'm waiting on the last one. It didn't give me a cash out option. It was a future of winners championship. So I had the Aces last year, the Chiefs last year. I want to say I got MLB right too, and I didn't have NHL.
Oof.
And so the team I had for NHL made it to the playoffs. I was like, all right, we're looking good. And they lost first round. So it's like, I'm out of luck now. And then after that, I think there has happened before MLB. So the MLB eventually made me mad. Because I was like, I would have had the money. But I never had the chance to cash that one out after being whatever, 3 out of 4. And so I was sad about that. But that's a whole nother story.
All right. So good pod. I mean, good episode there. Hopefully the listeners, you guys think so too. But we got to finish with everyone's favorite segment. Hopefully we teach you something new, put you on to something new. Jody, what you got for us this week? The banger of the week.
This week, I'm shouting out our guy, Ray Ray. He's dropping new music. And this is not the right Ray Ray, because his name's Ray Riley actually on here. Let me go find it. Give you the album title. It is called This Ain't For Everybody, which, okay. I mean, after listening through, it kind of makes sense. It's a lot of slower music compared to what he's done in the past. Okay. Maybe, you know, he's coming to realization where he kind of wants to slow things down, get you more of the lyrics as opposed to hard-hitting vibes like we got for Puma Pride. But
okay.
I do remember King Kuda was one I liked, I could say, off top. This says his highest tracks are Session 1, Mando, and Inspired. I think For You is another one I liked as well. But yeah, go check out the new music dropped Friday. So Ray Riley, the same for everybody.
Yeah, support our guy, Ray Riley. Excited to see how he diversifies in his music career. I'm going to definitely go give that album a listen tomorrow on my way into work. Until then, till our next episode, take us out, Ray Ray.
The community in peril, got us all thinking like crabs in a barrel. War going on, but we fighting on each other. We cannot afford to be killing all our brothers. We gonna need every single soldier in this battle. About to go left, let me tell you why I have to. Really, it's a trip, this is what I gotta do. So I'ma say it one time and I'm saying it for you. This is for the people looking at me so confused. Wonder why I say and I act the way I do. Why he saying we, why he talking like he black? Why he talking like he know the struggle, this and that? I swear I hear it all, so I'm finally addressing. I'm white and I'm black, this is my confession. Hate I gotta waste time answering that question. Fists in the air, represent God's blessing. Freedom! Yeah. Freedom! We just wanna be free. One.